All right, Rebbe, say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Kufchas 108. So we are picking up in Miratz Hashem at the Mishnah on Kuf Zayin Amud Beis. Meet last Mishnah. Mishalach l'medina sayom. Person went overseas. V'amad echad upine sesishto. And what happens? A man, so Reuven gets up and goes overseas. Shimon decides, Reuven's wife looks like she doesn't have enough to sustain herself. So what does Shimon do? Shimon goes in and writes her a check for $5,000 and decides that he's going to go ahead and support her and take care of her in her husband's absence. So Reuven says, so now what happens? So now husband comes back to town, and what does Shimon do? Shimon says to Reuven, look, I supported your wife while you were gone. You owe me $5,000. So what's the halacha? Is Reuven the husband on the hook for that money or not? So Chanan says, Ibeit esma osav. Ultimately, again, Chanan says that the Shimon, who gave Reuven's wife the money, ultimately has lost his money. Meaning Chanan says, look, he was under no obligation to do that. There's no reason to assume that Reuven didn't make proper provisions for his wife. Or if not, again, remember, as we've learned in the last couple of sugyas, she has other forms of recourse in terms of going to Beis Din. If Shimon decided that he wanted to go ahead and support her, that's on his own dime, and he has no ability to recapture that amount from Reuven. Nachlaku alav b'nei kohanim. So the b'nei kohanim gedolim argued on Chanan, and they said, v'amru yishava. They said, no, let him take an oath, kamahotzi, how much he went ahead and he spent, v'yitol, and he could actually recapture that amount from Reuven. So we'll say, so the B'nai Kohanim Gedolim said, no, not true. If at the end of the day, Shimon supported Reuven's wife, and that was the obligation that Reuven really had, so that all Shimon has to do is take an oath that he supported Reuven's wife, the amount that he gave her, and l'maisa, again, he'd be permitted to recapture that amount. Amar Avidosa ben Hyrcanus, so Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus is held like the B'nai Kohanim Gedolim. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Yafa Amar Chanan. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai on the other hand says, no, I agree with Chanan, namely that again, Reuven, the husband, does not have to pay back Shimon. Why? He niach ma'osav al keren atzvi. Because it's like going ahead and placing your money on the keren, on the horn of the deer. That just like if you go out and you put your money on the horn of the deer, you're going to lose it. You're going to lose it. So lemaisa, again, so too Shimon decided to go ahead and support Reuven's wife, which is very nice, but lemaisa, again, he has no ability to recapture that amount from Reuven when he comes back. Says the Gemara, look at Rashi just a moment. Chanan omer ibeid es ma'osav, shelo amarti lecha halavani. Because remember, again, Reuven, the husband, says to Shimon, I never told you to lend her that money. Vani Ephra, and I'll pay you back. Aval, okay, so Rashi then goes into a different situation, which we're not going to get into now, where there are certain circumstances where if the wife takes certain loans for mazonos, then Einachinami, she could go back to her husband and say to her husband, you owe me this money. But we'll leave that on the side for now. So we'll say, fundamental machlokes in Chanan and B'nai Kohanim Gedolim. Man goes overseas, another man, we'll call him Shimon, goes ahead and supports Reuven's wife. Reuven's guy went overseas. Now Reuven comes back. Shimon says, here's the bill for $5,000. Chanan says, Reuven is not liable for that. Reuven says, I never made any arrangements with you. I never told you to do any of this. If you decided to do this, it was on your own dime. B'nai Kohanim Gedolim say, no, not true. As long as Shimon is willing to take a shavua, how much he spent, he's entitled then to reimbursement from Reuven. Says the Gemara, Tanan Hasam, Hamudur Hanoa Mechavero. Both say, if a person makes a neder, now, again, this could be one of two cases. Let's say you have Reuven and Shimon. So this could either be Reuven making a neder not to get benefit from Shimon. That's one possibility. Or Shimon making a neder, or Reuven making a neder, not to permit Shimon to get any benefit from his property. So either way, it's fine. Samudra hanami chavero. So someone is prohibited by the power of a neder from deriving any benefit from his friend, top of kufras. Shoka lo eshiklo, he could still go ahead. So we'll say, so now let's say, just keep it like this. Reuven makes a neder, prohibiting himself from getting any benefit from Shimon. Okay? So the Braisa says, or the Mishnah says, that Shimon, shoka lo eshiklo, is still permitted to pay the half shekel on behalf of Reuven. Porea eschovo, is permitted to go ahead and pay off his debt for Reuven. machzir lo aveidaso, and is permitted to go ahead and return Reuven's lost object. And the place where people normally are paid ultimately for returning lost objects, that amount of money that it would have normally gotten for the process or for the act of returning the lost object ultimately goes to Hekdish. So says the Gemara, Bishlama. So we'll say, so now remember, what's intriguing about this is we're talking now about a case where Reuven said, I'm not permitted to get any benefits from Shimon. That was his nether. And yet the Mishnah is telling you that what? That Shimon could still do all of these things on behalf of Reuven. He could contribute Reuven's half shekel. He could repay Reuven's debt. He could return Reuven's lost object. So now the Gemara goes through this. Let's analyze this. Bishlama shokel lo es shiklo. I understand why Shimon would be permitted to go ahead and pay Reuven's half shekel, even though Reuven took and made a nether not to get any benefits from Shimon, because mitzvah ka'avid, because at the end of the day, Shimon is doing a mitzvah on behalf of Reuven. And I will say, what does that mean? First of all, if you look at Rashi, Rashi just moment, shokel o shiklo, shokel bishvilo, shekel shuchayiv l'choshar l'kabar sibor. So this is, remember, we'll say from our Shkalim days, so the contribution of the half shekel ultimately goes to the communal offering pot, right? That's why everybody has a stake, everybody literally has a financial interest in all of the Karbanot Sibur, because Karbanot Sibur are purchased from the half shekel funds. So the Gemara says, it's no problem for Shimon to contribute the half shekel on behalf of Reuven, even though Reuven made a neder not to get any benefit from Shimon, because it's a mitzvah. Now what does that mean? Look at Rashi, mitzvah ka'avid kilomar, mitzvah ba'alma ka'avid, ve'eno mehaneu lazeh, shim lo shakal alav lo hifsid klom, sheish lo chelik b'kabanot. So we'll say, it's a mitzvah. It's not really considered that Shimon is giving Reuven any level of benefit. Why not? This is actually very interesting. This nan, because we learned, says the Gemara, Tarmin ala avod va'ala gavoi va'ala osid ligvos. So also listen to this. When the Kohen goes into the Trumas Alishka, when he goes into the chamber in order to go ahead and remove half shekels, for the purpose of going ahead and using that money to purchase Karbanos Sibor. So we'll say, so what happens? What's the halacha? He goes ahead and he removes it, al ha'avud, keeping in mind any half shekels that have been lost, ala gavui, that which has been collected, but has not yet been delivered to the Beis HaMikdash, va'ala osid ligvos, and that which has not even yet been collected. And there's a both side. When the Kohen goes in to take the half shekels to purchase Karbanos Sibor, what he really does is, he's taking money on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. Even those who have not yet actually contributed are still given a portion in those half shekel funds in order to give to them a portion within the communal offerings. Therefore, Abbas, what the Gemara is suggesting is like this. Reuven makes a neder, I'm not going to get any benefit from Shimon. And Shimon goes ahead, and so what is Shimon allowed to do? Shimon can contribute Reuven's half shekel. He's permitted to do that. Isn't that called Reuven getting benefit from Shimon? To which the Gemara answers, no. Why is he not considered getting benefit from Shimon? Because even had Shimon not contributed the half shekel at all, even had Reuven not contributed the half shekel at all, nevertheless, what would have happened? Reuven would have still had a portion in communal offerings. As such, it's nice that Shimon is going ahead and contributing the half shekel on Reuven's behalf, but Lemaisa, he's not actually giving Reuven anything new, anything that Reuven would not have had anyway. Therefore, by definition, it's not called getting benefit from Shimon. I will say, again, I want to point out, it's an incredible novelty by half shekel, because we often thought that the only people who share in the communal offerings are the people who mamish got their half shekel in. Actually, the Mishnah tells us that's not true. Every member of Klal Yisrael is given a portion in communal offerings, even if they did not yet offer their half shekel. Therefore, again, when Shimon offers the half shekel on behalf of Reuven, he's not really giving Reuven tangible hana. He's not giving Reuven something that Reuven wouldn't have had without that. Therefore, even though, again, Shimon is not permitted to give benefits from Reuven to Reuven because of the power of the neder, he's permitted to contribute the half shekel. Next, machzir lo avedaso. So we'll say, so remember we said, Shimon is permitted to return Reuven's lost object, to which the Gemara says, Nami mitzvah ka'avid, that is also considered to be a mitzvah. That's also considered to be a mitzvah. So we'll say, so because the act of Hashavas Aveidah is a mitzvah, therefore we don't view that as Hana'ah, we don't view that ultimately as Shimon giving Reuven Hana'ah, rather that is Shimon performing a mitzvah. Next, Ela porea lo eschovo. But we'll say, what about the last case? The last case where the Braisa said, the Mishnah said, that Shimon is permitted to pay off Reuven's debt. How could that be? Ha kamishtar shile. So we'll say, again, at the end of the day, remember again, Reuven made a neder not to get any benefits from Shimon, and now the Mishnah is telling me that what? Shimon is permitted to pay off Reuven's debt. Then I will say, now how could he do that? That is objective benefit, that's objective hana that Shimon is giving over to Reuven. So how is he permitted to do that? So Amar Rav Hoshea, hamani chananhi. Oh, whose opinion does that reflect? That reflects the view of Hanan. And Hanan says, the Amar ibeit esma osav. Well, so remember again, Hanan was one of the Mishnah who said that what? That if Reuven goes overseas, and Shimon gets up and supports Reuven's wife, that when Reuven comes back and Shimon says, give me $5,000, what does Reuven say? No. You decided to do something nice on your own. That's your problem. That's not my problem. So Rav Hoshea suggests that Lamaisa, whose opinion is reflected in this Mishnah, that says that the Mudar Hano can pay off the debt of the other. That's Hanan. Hanan is the opinion who says that if you do something nice for someone else, that's very nice, but that's your own issue. That's your own thing. That's not called doing something for me. That's called doing something of your own, on your own volition. And I am not responsible for that. So because I'm not responsible for that, that's not called Reuven getting benefit from Shimon. But Rav Hoshea, if you look at Rashi just a moment, Rashi says, Hanan hu da amar ibein ma'osav, ze shepirnes es ishto, es ishes chavero, v'nes kavein l'shem hava, shi yishalim lo baile, ibein ma'osav en yochalomar, es choveich parati, shalem li. Because remember, in the case of Shimon who supports Reuven's wife, what Shimon essentially says to Reuven is, look, you owed her money, I paid off your debt, pay me back. So you see that Hanan does not hold of that. Hanan holds if you get up and you pay off someone's debt, Lamaisa, again, the debtor, has absolutely no obligation to go ahead and, the debtor has no obligation to pay back the person who paid back the debt on his behalf. So Rashi says, so therefore again, so that's according to Rav Hoshea. Rav is a filo tingu rabbanon. It's not true. It could even reflect the view of the rabbanon. So what's going on over here? We'll listen to this. So what was the nature of the loan? The nature of the loan was such that lemaisa. So Reuven was lent, I'm using Reuven and Shimon a lot over here, but let's say again, the lender gave the debtor the money without any specific time for repayment. Then I will say, now if you have a loan that has absolutely no due date, which essentially means, you know, pay it off whenever you can, so we'll say, that's not really called a loan. It's not really called a loan because since there's no lachatz, since there's no real obligation or no specific timeline in which to pay it off, then the maisa, again, that doesn't have the normative status of a loan. So therefore, I will say, because of that, so listen to this, what the Gemara is suggesting is the following. Reuven made a neder not to get any benefit from Shimon. On the side, Reuven also went ahead and borrowed money from Levi, and that loan has absolutely no due date. So what happens? Shimon comes along and now pays off Reuven's debt to Levi. So the Gemara says, that is not a violation of the neder. Why? Because that's not called giving real benefit to Reuven. Why is it not called giving real benefit to Reuven? Because since the debt really had no due date to begin with, so it's not such a big tova that he's doing for him. So the Gemara says, Bishlama Rava lo amar Rav Hoshea. So I understand why Rava didn't say like Rav Hoshea. So remember, Rava is one who interpreted the case of a loan that did not have a due date. So I understand why he doesn't go with Rav Hoshea's approach, because Rav Hoshea wanted to say that the Mishnah reflects the view of Hanan. I understand that. Why? Because he wants to set up this Mishnah in accordance with the Rabbanon as well. El Rav Hoshea, my time alone, Mark Rava. But why did Rav Hoshea not hold like Rava? Rav Hoshea will say, Nehi dana lesle, even though you want to say that it's true, that because the debt has no due date, so when Shimon pays it off, he's not really giving substantive hana'ah to Reuven, but I'll tell you something else. However, kisufa mi lesla, is there not some level of embarrassment? In other words, Rabbi say, if you owe someone money, even if the person is not pressing you to pay back, right? And even if the person is not telling you, oh, here's the due date, Rabbi say, most people are uncomfortable just simply knowing that they owe something to someone else. Hasam nami isli hana, ba hi hana de mikhsaf mine. So therefore again, Rav Oshio will say that the reason I can't accept Rava's approach, because even if you want to say that there's a debt with no due date, there's still an element of embarrassment that the debtor has. And by Shimon going ahead and paying off Reuven's debt, what does he do? What does he do? He eliminates that embarrassment. The elimination of that embarrassment is in and of itself what? Is in and of itself a hana. That's why Rav Oshio said, I don't agree with Rava's approach, because I think in a situation of even a debt that didn't have a due date, the act of Shimon paying off Reuven's debt, and therefore Reuven no longer having to be embarrassed by walking by or by interacting with the creditor, is in and of itself constitutes a hana, and therefore again would be usher.
Even though he owes Shimon the money.
Even though he owes Shimon the money, correct.
He's got a new person to be embarrassed about.
Oh, no. Remember, again, it's a gift. It's a gift. So meaning, when Shimon does this, Shimon is, the assumption is Shimon is not asking for repayment of his own. Right? Because remember, if Shimon's asking repayment, then he's not really doing anything for Reuven. Right? That's not a favor. Then you're just shifting my creditor. Don't do me any favors.
Right.
Here he's paying it off as a gift. It's a matana. It's a matana. So the Havamina is that if it's a debt without a due date, even though he's paying it off, he's not really giving me anything. Because the truth is, whatever. If I get around to paying it, I'll do it. If I don't, I don't. But now what Rav Oshio is suggesting is that, no, there is a hana. And the hana is the elimination of embarrassment. I don't have to feel awkward when I go ahead and I see the creditor. Says the Mishnah, new Mishnah, Admon Omer Shiva. I will say, Admon gave over 7 rulings. We'll see that that were the source of machlokes. It's actually very interesting. So Admon Omer Shiva, because if someone died and left behind sons and daughters, if there's a lot of property, so the way it works is like this. Sons inherit, which means they receive title to the property, but daughters get support. So as much as daughters don't get title to the property, but daughters are entitled to be supported by the estate. But I will say, what happens if there's only a little bit of property? Now, what's the definition of a little bit of property? If you look at Rashi, Nechasim Mu'atin, Mefarish Bebaba Basra, She'ein Bahen Parnosos Shneimasar Chodesh Lezikar Monekevos. So the definition of a little bit of property is, there's not enough property to sustain the sons and daughters for a year. Okay, so if there's only a little bit of property, then what's the halacha? So the girls go ahead and are supported from the estate. And the sons have to go ahead and beg. Means they go ahead and they go door to door and collecting. So Admon says it's discrimination, right? Because I'm a man, I have to lose out. In other words, why should the girls get the estate and I should have to go beg door to door? Rabbi Gamliel said, Roa ani. As Divrei Admon. So what Rabbi Gamliel said, the truth is, I see Admon's point. All right, so let's see the Gemara. What does that mean? My Kamar, what exactly is Admon saying? Amar Abaye, this is what he means to say. Hachi Kamar, Bishul Shani Zachav Roy Lasok B'Torah. So Admon's saying, what? Because I'm a man, and therefore I can learn Torah. Hifsadati, I've lost out on my ability to inherit the estate. So much as that doesn't make sense. Amar Rava. What is inheriting dependent on whether or not you learn Torah? So the Gemara says, this is what Admon means to say. What Admon was saying is, it doesn't make sense. Because I'm a man, and therefore again, if there are nechasim merubin, I inherit the estate. But yet if there are nechasim mu'atin, I get nothing. Meaning what Admon seems to just say is that there's an inequality here. That if there's a lot of property, I am the owner of the estate, and yes, the girls have to be supported, but if there's not enough property, then again, I get nothing, and the girls inherit everything, and the girls are supported. So I'll say, so that's Admon's claim. I'll say, how do we paskin? So we paskin like the Tanakhama. We do not paskin like Admon. And indeed, in the case of where there is Nechasim Merubin, again, if there's a lot of property, so again, the procedure is quite straightforward. Namely, again, boys inherit the estate, but are obligated to support the sisters, the daughters from the, not their daughters, but their sisters, the daughters of the deceased from the estate. But where there is nechasim mu'atin, where there only is a little bit of property, as Rashi said, only enough property to sustain, or less than enough property to sustain the family for a year, then einachinami, the girls are sustained from that estate, and the boys must make alternate financial arrangements. That's how he paskin. Says them. We learned that already before, so I know it's not like a. That's why there's a lack of excitement when I say that, right? So says the Mishnah.
Because they're Jewish.
The boys lose. Correct.
No,
correct.
Because they're Yorish.
I'm sorry.
Because they're Yorish.
No, because that's Takana Drabanan. It's not the second part has nothing to do with the first part. The second part. No, remember again, I said we learned this. The reason is because it's a greater busha for girls to have to go out and collect and beg than it is for boys. So it's a very simple equation. If there's only a little bit of property, we're going to give it to the girls because they're going to have a harder time collecting. And let's say, by the way, when we say, I just want to be clear, I know everybody knows this, but I feel like Alice Lisa, you know, we just learned MS and Mishnah Sharm. You know, when the Mishnah says they should go door to door and beg, so I was like, that is not Chazal advocating for people going door to door to beg. Well, that's another way of Chazal saying, go figure it out. Go figure it out. Get a job. Do whatever you have to do. And even if you have to go door-to-door collecting, then Lamaisa, go door-to-door collecting. But I want to be clear. It's not Chazal advocating for institutionalized door-to-door collecting. So the Mishnah says the following. Hatoines chaveiro. We'll say this is another interesting case. Hatoines chaveiro kadesh shemen. So we'll say a person says, I go over to Reuven, and I say, Reuven, you owe me jugs of oil. You owe me jugs of oil. Behoda bekankanim. So this is very interesting. So what happens? And Reuven says, I don't owe you any oil, but I admit that I owe you the jugs. Right? I go over to you and say, you owe me 10 jugs of oil. And Reuven says, I don't owe you any oil, but I do owe you jugs. Okay. So Rashi says, Behoda bekankanim reikim below shemen. So Rabbi says, now what's the halacha? Admon omer hoil behoda bemiksas hatayna yishava. So Admon says, oh, good. That's a case of modu bemiksas. Right? Modu bemiksas means that what? That I claim that someone owes me X, and they say they owe me only, you know, X minus Y, right? They only owe me something. So the halacha is modim mixas. When you admit, when you have a partial admission of a claim, you have to swear about the remainder. So therefore, if I say, Reuven, you owe me 10 jugs of oil, Reuven says, I don't owe you oil, but I do owe you jugs. So very simple. So Admon says, that's modim mixas, and Reuven has to take a shavua. The Chum say, no. Ein hodas mixas mimin atayna. Rabbi say, in order to go ahead and be chayiv for modim mikzas, your partial hodah, your partial admission, must be a part of the initial claim. So Rabbi say, the Chachamim say like this, the Chachamim say that in reality, when I say that Reuven is going ahead, and Reuven owes me 10 jugs of oil, what am I really claiming against him? I'm really claiming against him oil. The fact that he admits that he owes me jugs, that's like a totally different admission. That admission is not at all related to the actuality of my claim. We'll get more into this in the Gemara. And therefore, that's not called the modim mikzas. Rather, and therefore, again, there's no shavua. Rabbi Gamliel would say, Roa Ani is Tiri Admon. Rabbi Gamliel says, I agree with Admon that indeed this is a case of modim mikzas. Says the Gemara, Shema Mina the Rabbanon. So we'll say, according to the Rabbanon's logic in the Mishnah, where they say that if Reuven just admits that he owes the jugs, but doesn't admit that he owes the oil, that Lamai said that's not modi b'miktsas, because according to the Rabbanon, that's not called modi b'miktsas mimina taino. So if that's the case, according to that logic, Shema Mina the Rabbanon, Tanu Chitin V'Sor, Rabbi says, interesting. If let's say I go over to Reuven and say, Reuven, you owe me wheat and barley. V'hode b'sa'orin. And Reuven says, I admit that I owe you barley. Then what's the halacha? Potter. Then is he potter? What's saying? Now why is he potter? According to this logic, he'd be potter. He'd be potter because they're both saying he's not really admitting part of the claim. That ultimately, again, the claim is chitin and saorin. That's the claim. It's one joint claim. When he admits saorin, that's not called admitting part of the claim. That's called admitting something totally different. So the Gemara says, leimet teheveti yufta. So let's say ultimately again, this should be a refutation. The Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. Don't Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. Because the Nachman Amar Shmuel ta'anu chitin is sa'orin v'holdu lo pe'echad mehen. Because what's Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel said? No, it's not. In fact, that's not the case. If I claim against Reuven, you owe me chitin and sa'orin. You owe me wheat and barley. And Reuven says, I admit that I owe you barley. So Rav Nachman, in the name of Shmuel, said, chayiv. So Rav Nachman said, that is called modu b'miktsas. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. No, no, no. What's the case over here? The case over here, Rabbi Osei, is that Lamaisa, I'm not actually claiming, going back to the oil case of the Mishnah, I'm not claiming a certain amount, a certain number of jugs. Rather, I'm claiming a certain amount of oil. Look at Rashi, Betorno Mida, Lo Tava Mimeno Kankanim. I'm not really telling him that he owes me jugs. Ella, Shemen if Karati Etzleich, Umay Kadesh Shemen Diktoni Mas Nisin, Mida Mali Asara Kadesh Shemen. Bless you. The Havale Tonim Chitin, the Hodla Besarim. So also listen to this. So now the Gemara is saying, what's the case of the Mishnah? The case of the Mishnah is I go over to Ruben and say, Ruben, you owe me the amount of 10 jugs of oil. So whatever it is, whatever the amount of, whatever the size of the jug is, you owe me that amount of oil. So we'll say, if I go over to Reuven and I say, you owe me the amount of 10 jugs of oil, and Reuven says, I admit that I owe you 10 jugs, so we'll say, is that mod b'miktsas? That's not mod b'miktsas. Why? Because I'm not claiming the jugs of oil. That's like going over to Reuven and saying, you owe me wheat, and Reuven says, no, I owe you barley. So we'll say that, so in this case over here, I'm not claiming the jugs at all. I'm claiming a certain amount of oil. When he admits that he owes me jugs, Lamai said, that's not called modi b'miktsas m'mina taina. Iachi, my time at the Admon. Well, if that's the case, then what's Admon's logic? Then why does Admon say that in that case that is called modi b'miktsas? If I'm not claiming jugs at all, I'm only claiming a certain amount of oil, then why, if Reuven admits that he owes me jugs, why is that modi b'miktsas according to Admon? Ella Amar Rava. Rava says no. D'chuli Alma. We have to analyze like this. According to everyone, Heichan do Amar Le Malo Asara Kadei Shemen Yishli Bebarcha. That Rabbi say, if a person says, I have the amount of 10 jugs of oil in your pit. In other words, I deposited by you the amount of 10 jugs of oil in your pit. Then what? Everyone agrees. Shemen Katoin Le Kan Kanim Lo Katoin Le. Well, see, everybody agrees in a case like that. That what? When I use the word jugs, what am I using them for? I'm using them to denote an amount. But in no way am I actually claiming jugs, right? I'm not asking you, I'm not telling you that you owe me the jugs. However, again, if I say, Asura kade shemen meleim li yeshli etzlecha, if I say to Reuven, I have 10 full jugs of oil that I deposited by you, then everyone agrees that what? So, shemen vikankanim katonile. Then I will say, everybody will agree that what am I claiming against Reuven? Both oil and jugs. Because remember, in that case, I'm saying to him, you owe me, I deposited by you 10 full containers of oil. So I'm saying, I left by you the oil, and I left by you the jugs. However, listen to this. Ki pligi, when does the machlokes come up? Heichan do amra le asara kade shemen yishli etzlecha. So we'll say, see the chilek over here? See, in the previous case, I said, asara kade shemen meleim. I left you 10 full jugs of oil. So when you phrase it like that, it's clear that what I'm saying to Reuven is, you owe me the oil and you owe me the jugs. But let's say I use this lashon. I say to him, I had 10 jugs of oil by you. So we'll say, so how do you interpret the phrase 10 jugs of oil? Admon omer, yesh b'lashon azah, lashon kan kanim. So Admon says that when you use this lashon, I left 10 jugs of oil by you. That means, what am I claiming? I'm claiming oil and I'm claiming jugs. And therefore, according to Admon, if Reuven were to just admit the jugs, that's called what? That's called mod b'miktas. For Rabbanon, so the Rabbanon will say, no. In b'lashon azeh lashon kan kanin. But the Rabbanon will say, that's not true. That type of lashon, again, is only about the oil, and not really claiming the jugs. El taima de in b'lashon azeh lashon kan kanin. Now, according to the Rabbanon, the only reason why it's not mod b'miktas is because that lashon of, I left 10 jugs of oil by you, is not really focusing on the jugs, but it's focusing on the oil. But hayesh b'lashon azeh lashon kan kanim chayiv. But Rabbi said, it is clear that even according to the Rabbanon, that if I did claim against Reuven, if I did use a lashon that was more explicit, and that literally was claiming both the oil and the jugs, that's what it would appear based on this, that if Reuven were to admit that he owed the jugs and not the oil, that's what? Chayiv, meaning that would be called modir miksas. So leima tehevei tuyuf tedar b'chiyah bar abba. But say that this refutes b'chiyah bar abba, down b'chiyah bar abba, ta'anu chitin is sa'orin v'holdu lo b'echad mehen potter. Because Moshe Reb Chiya bar Abba said that if I claimed against Reuven, you owe me wheat and barley. And Reuven admitted that I owe you barley, that's not called mod b'miktsas. He's potter. So I'm going to see Rashi. See here what's happening over here? What's happening over here is, what the Gemara now is suggesting is that Lemaisa, according to the Rabbanan, it seems to be that the machlok is between Admon, thank you, Admon and the Chachamim, is how you interpret certain Lashonos. Right? That's really the machlokis in terms of how to interpret the lashon. But they seem to be on the same page on the core principle. Namely, if I say explicitly to Reuven, I left you 10 jugs filled with oil. Right? Then lemaisa what? Let's say in a lashon like that where everybody's agreeing that aloha lemaisa, I'm saying, you owe me what? You owe me the jugs and you owe me the oil. That it would appear that everybody would agree that if Reuven were to say, no, I only owe you the jugs, that's called what? That's called modeh b'miktzas, which would then seem to indicate that in the case of where I say to Reuven, you owe me wheat and barley, and Reuven says, I only owe you barley, that would also be called modeh b'miktzas. And everybody would agree with that. The Gemara just points out, just understand, that is in direct conflict with the opinion of Rav Chiya bar Abba, because Rav Chiya bar Abba said that if I claim chitin and sor from Reuven, and Reuven only emits chitin, but doesn't emit sorin, that is not called modeh b'miktzas. To which the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chiya bar Ashi, na'asa kimi shetanu rimon bikli pasal. So Rav Chiya bar Ashi says that the case of the Mishnah is like someone who claims a pomegranate in its peel. And I'll say, now what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Na'asa kimi shetavo rimon bikli pasal. Lo damu kadim v'shemen l'chitim v'seorim. De kule chada milsehi u'mimina tainu. Rabbi, see, here's the difference. What Rav Chiya bar Ashi is saying is, the truth is, we're trying to link our Mishnah of jugs and oil together with the Mishnah of wheat and barley. But the truth is, says the Gemara, they're really fundamentally different. That when you claim jugs with oil, that's like claiming the pomegranate with the peel. In other words, we'll say the jugs and oil, they go together. They go together. L'maisik, in the same way, Rabbi said that the pomegranate comes with its peel. The peel is part of it. So it's understood that ultimately, again, the jugs are. How else did you get the oil to? How else did you get the oil? How else did I get the oil to Reuven if not in jugs? So l'maisa, again, it's understood that they're one thing. Therefore, again, if you admit the jugs without the oil, that's called modeh b'miktzas. But lav dafka, that would apply in a case of chitin and seorin. That if you just admit chitin, that doesn't automatically mean that it's modeh b'miktzas. To which the Gemara says, "Maskev for Ravina." So Ravina said, "One second, that's not necessarily true. Rimon below klipasol amintar." So we'll say, remember, you can't have the pomegranate without the peel, because lemaisa, it's the peel that protects the pomegranate. Shemen mintar below kankanim, but that's not true. Rabosa, you could go ahead. There are plenty of ways that you could have the oil without having the jug. I mean, I will say, essentially, the pomegranate is an indispensable, part of the fruit. It's part of the fruit itself. You can't say that with the jugs. Elahak am I asking on? Rather, what's the case over here? Listen to this. So I say to Reuven, I deposited 10 jugs of oil by you. And Reuven says back to me, Shemen lo hayu dvarim me'olam. You never gave me oil. Kankanim nami chamisha islacha v'chamisha laslacha. And I will say, so this is very interesting. So what is happening in this case? Total denial of, you never gave me any oil. But pitchers, jugs you did give me, but not 10. You only gave me 5. So we'll say, so now what's happening? He's being modeh b'miktzas in miktzas. Right? So again, I'm totally denying the claim of the oil. I admit the claim of the jugs, but I only owe you 5 jugs. Sa'admon omer, yesh b'loshon, b'loshon azeh loshon kankanim. Sa'admon says, that Rabbi say, in this loshon, of Asara Kadesh Amishli Etzlecha, I'm claiming against Reuven both what? Both oil and wine. In that lashon, I'm claiming both oil, both oil and jugs. I'm claiming both of them. Umigo, Tikamishtaba Akankanin, Mishtaba Nami Ashemen. And I will say, once Reuven is going to be chayiv for a shavua on the jugs, why is he chayiv for a shavua on the jugs? Why? Because modeh b'miktzas. Supposed to say, there's a kind of gilgul shavua. Gilgul Shavua means that there are certain circumstances where the circumstance itself will not warrant the Shavua, but once you're swearing because of something else, we include other circumstances. I will say, remember again, normally, if you are kofer bakol on something, right? If you say, I owe you $10,000, and I say, no, I do not owe you anything, there is no obligation in Shavua. Only times the obligation shows a modeh b'miktzas. So listen to this chat. This is interesting. So Adamon says like this. When I come over to Reuven, I say to Reuven, I deposited, what's the lashon over here? Asar kadesh shemen. I deposited 10 jugs of oil. So Adamon says, I'm claiming 2 things against Reuven. I'm claiming oil and I'm claiming jugs. Reuven says, I owe you no oil and I don't owe you 10 jugs, I only owe you 5 jugs. Fine. So that partial admission, that modeh b'miktzas by the jugs, will trigger a shavua. And once I'm taking a shavua on the 5 disputed jugs, we're also going to say what? Take a shavua on the oil as well. Ayidei Gilgul. But Rabbanan, on the other hand, hold no. Ain balashna zelashon kankanim. Not true. I'm not really claiming that. I want to say I'm not really claiming jugs. What am I claiming? I'm only claiming oil. And I will say what happened. And remember, in the case of oil, he was kofer bakol. And his part, right? He said, I don't owe you anything. And the only thing he's admitting is what? The only thing he's admitting is a partial admission of the jugs. But that's not helpful here. Why? Because that's ultimately not what I'm claiming. Mashetanu lahodolo, umashahodolo latanu. What ultimately the individual, what Reuven is admitting is not what I'm claiming, bless you, and what I'm claiming is not what he's admitting. So I will say, this is the fundamental machlokes between Admon and the Chachamim. In this case over here again, and it's a two-pronged machlokes. Now, part one of the machlokes is how to interpret the words. When I say to Reuven, you owe me 10, I deposit 10 jugs of oil. I deposit 10 jugs of oil by you. So part one of the machlokes is that Admon says, I'm claiming jugs and oil. Chacham say, no, you're only claiming oil, not jugs. Well, based on that, if there's a partial admission by the jugs, Admon says that triggers Modem Mikzah Shavua. And once you have Modem Mikzah Shavua, Alidei Gilgul, through rolling over the Shavua, we make him swear about the oil as well. According to Chacham, there's no Modem Mikzah. Why? Because he's admitting that he owes half of the jugs, but that's not what I'm asking him about, right? That's not what the claim is. And I will say that remains the fundamental machlokes ultimately between the Chachamim and Admon. So also, just to tell you, interestingly enough, so this case, depending on the verbiage you use, will depend on the outcome. But I will tell you, by the case of Chitin and Seorin, the halacha is that if I claim against Reuven that he owes me wheat and he owes me barley, and he goes ahead and he admits the barley, we passing that is called Modim Mixas. That is called a partial admission, and therefore, again, would trigger a Shavua. Let's go a little bit advanced because we have some time. Haposik, actually, the truth is what we're going to try, we'll do a little bit of each daf because the last two dafim are a little bit long. So the Mishnah is fine. Haposik Mosa Chosna. Haposik is an interesting case. I'm marrying off my daughter, and I agree to give my son-in-law a dowry. I mean, I'm giving my daughter a dowry, but I mean, it's money that I'm promising my son-in-law. So what happens? Upashat lo asaragal. I was saying, this is a very interesting lashon. Pashat lo asaragal means I extended my foot to my son-in-law. Now, what does that mean? Rashi says, Pashat lo asaragal, lashon bizayinu, va'amar noe ishenu chash ledivarav, to'oltit shal gabi ragli v'ani shamat. So essentially what it means is, I default. Right? Now again, remember, now Pashat Lo Asaragel sounds like it's like intentional or malicious. That's actually not the case here. It's not intentional or malicious. But the idea over here is I default. I can't pay the money. So we'll say, so now what happens? Here's the problem. I made a financial promise to my son-in-law that the marriage is going to take place with the intention of going in and paying this money. So we'll say, so now what happens? So now, but I can't pay the money. Top of Kuftes. Teishev Ad Shetal Bin Rosha. So we'll say, so you know what? So my son-in-law has the right to go ahead and make my daughter wait to get married until what? Until I can pay up. Literally, she's going to sit in my home until her hair becomes white. Another Jabosite that the son-in-law has every right to say, I am not going under that chuppah until you show me the money. He's a real winner, right? So the Gemara says over here, so the Gemara says, Admon, now Jabosite, you have to understand something. Jabosite, so all kidding aside, so remember, very often, so dowry was financial security for a marriage. So therefore, the son-in-law could say, look, you know what, I'm sorry, but I can't afford to support the household unless you give me this money. So if you don't give me this money, it's fine, we'll just wait. I'm not saying I want to marry your daughter, but Lamai said, we're just going to wait. You know, this is not because he wants to go to the Caribbean. You know, this is mamish, the money to run his household. Admon says, Yecholi hisha tomar ilu ani pasakti la'atzmi eishavat shetal bin roshi. So Admon says that the girl, the wife, has the ability to say to her husband, because remember, in this case like this, Bepashtos, they've already done Kiddushin. So if they've already done Kiddushin, remember again, they are technically married. So she is stuck. So Admon says she has the right to tell her husband, look, if I would have promised you the money, then I understand you can make me wait until I can pay up. However, but the girl could say to the husband, look, what do you want from me? Right? My father made this promise. He can't pay up. I'm sorry. I can't do anything about it. Okinos opator. Either marry me or divorce me. In other words, don't keep me in this state. What I'm saying is the wife has the ability to say, I don't control this situation. If I don't control this situation, don't hold me hostage in it. Either do nisuin or divorce me. Amar Rabbi Gamliel said, Ro ani estirei Admon. I really hear what Admon is saying. Says the Gemara, Mas nisin deloki aitana. Our Mishnah does not reflect the view of the following Tana. Desanya, Amar Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Huda, Lo nechleku admon v'chachamim ala posik mos dechosno upashat lo asaregel sheicholim hishetomer abba pasak alai ma ani yicholim lasos. The Rabbi said the price is Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda says that admon and the chachamim both agree in the case of where the father promised the money to the son-in-law, that if the father defaults, the girl has the right to say to the husband, listen, it's not my fault. My father made this promise. I don't control the circumstance. Do me a favor. Either divorce me or marry me, but do not keep me in this state. She has the right to force his hand to take action. Ama nechlaku. So what do they argue about? Listen to this. What do they argue about? Al shepaskehi alatzma. All right, let's say they argue about the following case. Where what? Where she is the one who ultimately went ahead and made the promise. She made the promise. Shechachamur omim teshev achetal bin rosha. The Chachamim say, well, listen, she made the promise, therefore what? She's got to bear the consequences. Let her go ahead and just wait. So if she made the promise to pay, she's got to make the promise. He'll marry her when she makes the promise to pay. And if it takes a number of years, take a number of years. And Admon says, Yecholi hi shetomar, kisvura ani sha'aba nosin alai. When I made the promise to you, the girl says, I thought I was making the promise, but who was going to pay? Right? My father. But now that I see that my father is not paying for me, then what? Then Lamaisa, so what could I do? O kinos, o pitor, either marry me or exempt me. Artibasi, we'll stop over here. So Lamaisa, again, remember, again, according to this version, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that in a case where Lamaisa, the father made the promise, everyone agrees that the girl has the right to say to her husband, it's not my fault. I didn't make this arrangement. Do me a favor. You have to do something. Either marry me or divorce me. The Machlokas case comes up is where she made the promise. So Admon says she could still force his hand. So excuse me, the Rabbanan say, look, he has every right to say, I'll marry you when you pay up. But until you pay up, I'm not taking action. Admon, on the other hand, says she could say, look, when I made the promise, I thought my father was going to offer the money. My father didn't pay up. I'm sorry. But Lamaisa still either divorce me or marry me, but do not leave me in this state of limbo. Everybody, so we'll pick up over here. Mirza Hashem tomorrow. Shadrach's bankruptcy. Interesting. They must have taken it from the Gemara. That's fascinating. That's fascinating.